Apologize profusely if yours just got blown out. I'm very sorry. I know the guys try their best back there, and sometimes some weird things happen. I think in 16 and a half years, that's the first time that's happened, so I'm very sorry. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, would you? Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you tonight, Lord, for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the reality of God. We thank you, Lord, tonight that you care about every single man, woman, and child that's here tonight and in this world in ways that we do not comprehend nor understand. And we ask you, Lord, tonight that you'd help us. Take us deeper tonight in the love of God. Open our eyes to things that we've not understood before. Help us, Lord, to grasp how wide, how deep, how high the love of God really is. Help us to understand it, Lord, in a personal way. Bring us into an experiential knowledge and grasp and understanding and belief of the love that God has for us. Lord, I just pray tonight that you would open our hearts and open our minds and speak to us tonight during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message tonight is entitled Love by God. And it's one I've been looking forward to sharing with you for quite some time, actually. I've been praying about it all summer long. 41 years of my life, the most fantastic and significant thing in my life has been the love of God and a growing understanding of the depth of that love for me. You know, throughout human history, if you look at human beings and you look at present human beings, we have been on a quest for love. I was reading the other day an interview about Bruce Springsteen, and he was actually doing the interview, and it was some interesting tidbits about his life, like his lifelong struggle with clinical depression, some of the things about his upbringing. But the title of his new autobiography, which is 500, his memoirs actually, which is 500 and about 10 pages long, is entitled Born to Run. Is that one of his songs? What's the name of his song? Born to Run, right? There's Born to Be Wild, there's Born to Be Free, there's Born to Run, right? And he was sharing how recently he was in Sweden, 120,000 people, 120,000 people at his concert, singing along to that song, and when they all got to the line, I want to know if love is real, they're all pumping their hands in the air. Because there's this universal longing in human beings to be loved. It's interesting, really, to be honest, if we're honest about human nature, and we're going to talk about that this evening. It's not so much that we want to love, we want to be loved. And we're kind of going this quest in our life. We crave it. We desire it. We want it. And, you know, many of us, if we're honest, we've been in situations, maybe in our own family, where we witness the love between two people. And we see them stand in front of an audience, an auditorium full of people, and they promise this lifelong devotion and love. And on that particular day, everything just seems rosy and wonderful. And only to observe with the passing of time the waning of devotion, the waning of love, the waning of action, the waning of emotion. And over time, we've actually witnessed that so-called love turn to disdain, disinterest, dissatisfaction, discontent, hatred, and even abandonment. And so we find ourselves wondering, is there a love that can satisfy the deepest longing of my soul and of my heart? And I want to talk with you tonight, honestly, about the most extraordinary love in the world. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, I would like to read this to you to help you understand what God intends to do and desires in your life. The Apostle Paul is writing, he was one of the primary authors of the New Testament. God used him in extraordinary ways. Yet he was an insignificant, actually very despicable and unattractive man. And he writes this in Ephesians chapter 3. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your heart, that your roots would go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, so you may have the power to understand with all God's people, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you'll never fully understand it all. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, I just want to comment on that for just a moment. We have a lot of people today talking about, you just need more of the Holy Spirit. You just need more of the Holy Spirit. You need a second blessing of the Spirit. You need a baptism of the Spirit. You're missing something in your life. Well, let me tell you, it's not the Spirit that you're missing. From the Word of God, it is not the Holy Spirit that you're missing as a Christian. What you're missing is a deeper understanding of the love of God for your life. Listen to what it says. Because when you understand and experience the love of God, then you will be filled up with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Do you see that? I'm not making that up. That's the secret. And that is what most Christians and human beings who do not know Christ certainly are missing. They don't grasp it. They don't understand it. I can tell you, I don't have time tonight, but hopefully next week, to tell you a little bit of my own personal story. But I started out my Christian life at 19, following Christ, but I did not understand the love of God fully for my life. And it wasn't until about 6 years into that journey and crashing and falling all over myself and failing in some pretty extraordinary ways, and coming to a point in my life that was without question the most discouraging time in my life. I just got up, went to work, looked at the ground. When I came home, sat there quietly at the table, I did not have much to say because I felt I had failed in every aspect of my life. And over the next, after 6 months, for a year, for an entire year, I listened to 7 messages on the love of God every day for a solid year. I didn't listen to all 7. I rotated 1 every day, all 7, and started all over. All 7, started all over. I averaged 14 hours a week. By the middle of that year, my wife witnessed this transformation that began to take place in my life. There was power in my life. There was joy in my life. There was a vitality that now, 35 years later, has never left and only grown. And only grown. And I want to share that with you this evening. What is so mind-blowing about the love of God? Now, this is where it starts. So you're going to have to hold on to your seat a little bit, and you're going to have to trust me, okay? Because I'm going to try to help you understand this. What is so mind-blowing about the love of God is that the objects of God's love are so unlovable, so unattractive, so revolting in our wretchedness. We are so utterly unworthy of his love and affection, and yet he lavishes on it. He lavishes upon each of us without reservation. It is a love beyond reason. It is an unreasonable love. God's love is not rational. Now, I'm going to use a very striking example for you. I'm going to use you an example in just a moment from a movie. How many of you saw Lord of the Rings? Raise your hand if you saw Lord of the Rings. Really high, so I know at least, about 75% of the people have seen it. If you haven't seen it, you need to see the Lord of the Rings trilogy in order to understand the whole Bible. No, I'm joking. You need to understand the Bible so you understand Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, okay? So when you think of the movie, if you saw the movie, who's the person you identify with? Aragorn, right? I mean, who doesn't want to be Aragorn, man? I mean, the guy was just a man's man. Viggo Mortensen, I'd like to be him. If you're a female, maybe you were Galadriel. Or maybe you were Arwen, or Arwen, however you pronounce her name. Some of you, you know, I'm going to be Frodo, okay? I'm going to be Frodo, man. And some of you are like, I'm like Samwise Gamgee. I'm just a good old friend. And some of you go, well, I'm older. I think I'll be Gandalf. Well, I'm going to show you right now who I am. So show them who I am. Precious. Okay? Okay, now you saw that, right? Now, I only showed 9 seconds. I found that today on YouTube all by myself. Okay? Yeah. I did like that. Actually, I found about 20, and I just decided 9 seconds is enough of Mr. Ugly. Now, listen to me on this. Listen to me. This is very important. You are Smeagol. The reason, the first and primary reason you do not grasp the love of God is because you have a unbelievably distorted, deceived, elevated view of your real value. You don't get it. You're not Aragorn. You're not Arwen. You're not Samwise. You're not Frodo. We are Smeagol. That's who we are. That's, in fact, who the Bible says we are. And I would venture a guess, honestly, being really honest, that most of us, when we watched Lord of the Rings, never once thought, ooh, he's me. Never. We look at that like, oh, golly, he's so despicable. He's so pathetic. He's despicable, wretched, bent over by sin, ugly, and he doesn't have a thing to offer. Samwise, of course, is like, how can you even Frodo? I don't want anybody around. He's so grotesque. Now listen, I'm not exaggerating. You think I'm exaggerating, and this is why, a big part of the reason why you're missing the love of God. Let me just read to you a couple passages of Scripture. The first is found in Romans chapter 5. When we were utterly wicked and helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great and amazing love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still Smeagol. Sinners, starts with an S. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from judgment. Do you see that? Listen to this version. This is the message. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in a sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to God. This is the voice. Think about this. While we were wasting our lives on sin, eating raw fish from the sea, like Smeagol. I mean, if you watch the whole thing, for those of you who haven't seen it, you have to see it. Just this weekend, be a Lord of the Rings movie for you, and you're going to understand your true self. We were wasting our lives on sin. God revealed his powerful, amazing love to us in a tangible way when Christ, the Messiah, died for us. Listen to 1 John. Let me show you 1 John, who was one of Jesus' disciples. He writes in 1 John, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Do you see that description? It's not that we loved God, but that God loved us. That God loved us. Let me read you another description of us in Romans chapter 3. Well then, are the Jews any better than others? Not at all. For we have already shown that all people of every race are under the power of sin. For God says, no one is good, not even one. No one has real understanding. No one is really seeking God. All have turned away from God. All have gone wrong. No one does good, not even one. Their talk is foul, like a stench from an open grave. Their speech is full of lies. The poison of deadly snakes drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They're quick to commit murder. Wherever they go, destruction and misery follow them. They do not know the true peace or the path of peace, and they have no fear of God to restrain them. That describes the world we live in. Not one. Listen to this passage. This passage is equally profound and will kind of blow your mind, and you'll like, I can't believe that Jesus said this. So he's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are wondering, Lord, how come your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat, and how come they eat certain filthy foods? Jesus called the crowd, and he said, all of you listen and try to understand. You are not defiled by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and do. Then Jesus went in the house to get away from the crowds, and his disciples asked him what he meant. And he said, what are you saying? Don't you guys understand either? Can't you see that what you eat doesn't defile you? Food doesn't come in contact with your heart. It only passes through the stomach and goes out again. You know how. And then he added this. It is the thought life that defiles you. From within a person's heart comes evil thoughts, selfishness, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful hedonistic pleasure, envy, slander, materialism, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you and make you unacceptable to God. Wow, I bet you feel really good about yourself right now. The reason that more Christians aren't swept off their feet by the love of God is because they think they're Kim Kardashian to God. I'm Tim Tebow to God. Wow, God, I have something to offer you. I mean, come on, Lord. I'm not that bad, and I'm certainly not as bad as that guy. And I'm certainly not as bad as that person. Lord, hey, I'm sorry to tell you, Lord, but I have a few talents to offer you. You're lucky, Lord. You got me. Now, I want to tell you something. I mean this sincerely. God can revolutionize your life if you'll come to the bottom and recognize you're an insignificant, despised nobody, and God loved you based on who he is and not who you are. That means that 10 years from now, after you've come to know him and you fell on your face or you made a mistake, you can get right up reveling and rejoicing in the same love of God because you never earned it to begin with. Do you understand this? This is so profound. We do not, in America today and in our Christian churches today, to be honest, we have an unbelievably overinflated self-esteem based on the wrong things. The primary reason we fail to fully grasp the love of God first personally is we simply have way too high a view of ourselves. We think to ourselves, I'm really not that bad. I'm a pretty good person. I mean, why wouldn't God love me? I'm an asset to God. I have talents and abilities. This distorted view of ourselves and of our distorted view of God, lowering him to how humans think, react, and love, causes us to minimize how incredible, how overwhelming, and awesome it is that God actually loves us nonstop, all the time, passionately, faithfully, without restraint, because his love is based on who he is rather than on how worthy we are at any given time to receive this love. We think it is reasonable that God would love us, but his love is beyond reason. In fact, it is unreasonable. It is astounding. I have regular conversations with many of you in this auditorium tonight. I have some this week through email. We have conversations. I know some this week that over the last month have really struggled greatly in the Christian life. They made a bad decision, or they made a choice that was less than stellar or wise, and they're feeling down. Why are you feeling down? One of the reasons we feel down is because the devil comes along. See, there's a real spiritual war. He comes along and he points at you and goes, you're Smeagol. You're a wretch. I mean, you're pathetic. You're pathetic. And I say, amen. Yes, I am. And God loves me anyway. He loves me the same today as 1 month ago before you made the stupid decision. It did not change. That's where you're deceived. That's where you misunderstand the love of God. He loved you at your worst. And he loves you the same today. It's the same. God loved you so much. You know, I have 10 grandchildren, and I never know which one to choose when I use my illustrations for fear that my children may think I'm favoring one over the other. But we can look at a little Fisher, little chubby 25-pounder that he is, or little Charlie, or my brand new little grandson, Ren, or any of the other children, and think, well, yeah, they're lovable. They're lovable. You want to adopt one of them or Schmeagle? Who are you going to line up to adopt? I promise you it ain't going to be Schmeagle. And I can tell you right now, I'm not going to put my little grandson or granddaughter on the operating table so the heart can be removed from them and put into that pathetic creature. That's not how we as humans think. Let's just be honest about ourselves. We're attracted to beautiful people. We're attracted to athletic people. We're attracted to all the beautiful faces and bodies of the Olympics. And we're not attracted to the people God chooses. Those aren't the people that we're going to come along and go, I love you. I want you. I want you as my family. I want you for one of my children. 1 John goes on to say in earlier chapter 2, he says, behold, what manner of love, what incredible love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. It's mind-blowing to think that God would take you and I. The other day, so again, just to give you a reminder, this is not like I just learned all this yesterday, but it's as fresh to me today as it was 40 years ago or 35. So I turned 60 a few weeks ago. I'm still out seeking the Lord. I'm still growing in my relationship with God. And the other day, I was pacing in my garage. That's where I do my prayer walk. Sometimes I go out and walk 3 miles, and sometimes I walk 3 miles in my garage for an hour. And I'm walking, and I just began thanking the Lord for my life and for his blessings that I don't deserve any of them in my life. And then I just stopped. Tears just instantly came to my face, and I'm standing there just said, Lord, the reality is, I'm nothing. I'm an insignificant, despised pile of flesh and failure and flaw and so much crud still inside of me, Lord. I do not deserve one thing that you've ever given to me. I do not deserve to be your son. I don't deserve to be your child. Now you say, geez, Mark, that's depressing. No, it's not. It's so encouraging. And I was just once again experientially overwhelmed by the loving emotion and feelings of God's love for me. One of the reasons, you know, Jennifer Lopez said, and this is true of Jennifer Lopez, she has a sad life, to be honest, tragic life. All this beauty, wasted, because she's addicted to love. She's in love with love. She can't make any relationship work. She never will be able to, till she finds Christ and finds the ultimate love that only satisfies the deepest longing of the soul. And so you've got this woman who's just frustrated. It can't make love work, can't sustain love. Because after a while, why? Let's just be honest. As human beings, what happens to us? We get bored. You bore me. You got older. You got fatter. You don't look quite the same. And wow, especially compared to that. That's the reality. Let's just be honest here, folks. That's the reality of the blackness of our heart. That's why divorce is rampant, because there's no shame anymore. We just let it go. We realize I deserve the right to be happy. And you no longer make me happy. You bore me. You sort of disgust me. And we let our heart go. And so what happens, because that's who we are as human beings, that's who we are, we lower God to our own level, and we think, well, and so we struggle. We struggle. We're trying to follow God, but we struggle because all we see is our failure, and that's the second trap. The other trap that we all at times fall into is we look at our own shortcomings and conclude, God cannot love me at this time, which is really our pride. Because the truth of the matter is, we were never at any time good enough, worthy enough, pretty enough, talented enough to be worthy of his love. We can do nothing to earn God's love. We simply receive it as a gift from him because we choose to believe he is as he says he is. We base our belief on the evidence of his son and his death on the cross and his resurrection and his promise to us. We know that in this world, everything is earned and there are conditions to everything. This is the only reason humans love. Did you know that? Let's just be honest. Let's just all be honest. The reason love is so broken in our society is because it must be earned. You must be attractive enough. You must have a necessary personality. You must have certain skills. You must have certain talents. And if you don't, generally, love passes you by. God does not pass you by. You matter to God. You matter to God more than the life of his own son. So he killed him to get you. To get you. That's how much you matter to God. And you know what the book of Ephesians says? The book of Ephesians says that long ago, even before God made the world, okay, now think about this for a minute. Whoa, let's think about this. God, long ago, so we're talking billions and trillions of years ago, if we were to time it with our time, God loved you. Well, wait a minute, Lord. Were you like stupid? Did you miss something? Did you not realize that, you know, you made Adam and Eve and we like really screwed up? Even as we speak right here tonight, there are people being slaughtered in Syria and we don't give a damn. There are people being raped in Africa. There are people being raped here. We are a despicable creature like Schmeagol. And God, long ago, set the whole world in motion, let it go into motion to bring about his plan to crucify his son because he loves you. And the greatest tragedy in the world is to go through this life and never know it or believe it and receive it. Do you realize how that breaks the heart of God? It doesn't make God mad. It breaks his heart. He's like, wake up. Wake up, Christian. Wake up. This is your birthright. Do you understand how much I love you? I love you. Paul writes to us in Romans, for I'm convinced nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not our failures, not the demons, not things to come, not things present, not life, not death. Nothing in all the world can separate you from the active, passionate, emotive, faithful love of God. Nothing. That's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And Christian, this is where my vigor comes from. I'm crazy, head over heels, in love with someone who shouldn't love me at all. Shouldn't love me at all. My gosh, if I were just to look at my own life, if I just look back, you know, I have four precious kids the Lord gave me, but man, I made mistakes as a dad. And I made mistakes as a husband. If my wife stayed with me because I was worthy, and so many things I had to learn as a young man, oh my gosh. What gives me hope every day fills me with hope, vitality, enthusiasm, energy, is God loves me. He loves me. And his love turns me on more than my wife's. And his love is the reason I love her the way I do. His love is everything. His love is everything. God's love never, ever, ever is earned. It's a gift we receive and believe. God wants you to accept his love, enjoy his love, rejoice in his love, wallow and revel in his love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do you grasp that? Nothing in all the world can separate you from God's love. I'd like you to close your eyes with me tonight. We're going to close in prayer. I want to really encourage you this weekend. Please take the time to read Romans chapter 5. Take the time to read 1 John chapter 4. Take the time, if you would, go to strongdisciple.com and re-listen to this message. Please grasp that you matter to God. Your life matters to God. My life does not matter more to God than yours. Billy Graham's life does not matter more to God than yours. Franklin Graham's life does not matter more to God than yours. Some famous Christian singer, Tim Tebow's life does not matter more to God than you. He has as little to offer God as you have to offer God. And we don't believe that. We look at him and we see this mountain of a man, good looking, muscular, can throw a ball almost all the way down to the end of a field. Just got signed to the Mets. He decides he wants to play baseball. So what? His merit is in the unmerited favor of God. God loved him. God loved him. And God loves you. No matter where you come from in the world, no matter what your ethnicity, what your background, no matter what you've done. We've got folks here tonight, some that have done a hard time. We got folks here tonight that have made some really terrible decisions and choices in their life. Guess what? I know better than any one of you, and you're no better than me. We are all Schmeagle, and God comes along and adopts us. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and nothing's going to change that. It won't change tomorrow. It won't change 5 years from now. It won't change 20 years from now. It does not fade. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love for us is not based on anything we ever do. It's based on who God is. Who God is stays the same. Father, I just ask you tonight, oh God, I ask you tonight, grip our hearts, transform our lives, help us understand, Lord, that the way some of these parents, all these parents actually, but we have some parents here tonight with little baby in their arms. And the love that that mom and dad has for that child is really just like you feel towards us, except their love can't even compare because we're just human beings. The finite cannot compare to the infinite. You are an infinite resource of love. Yesterday, if we were to use this analogy, I used up one thimbleful of your love from all the oceans that are on our planet. One thimbleful. Maybe one drop. It's boundless. It's bottomless, Lord. We can never get to the bottom of it. And I ask you, Lord, tonight, or I ask that we believe it. I ask you, Lord, we really believe it. I ask you, Lord, that we would evaluate our own belief systems and rip out the weeds and the garbage, and that we would be like the Apostle Paul, and that we would come to experientially know how high and wide and broad and deep it really is, and so to experience the love of Christ, and so then to be filled up with life and the power of God. Work in our soul, Heavenly Father, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.